This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Smarks and Stripes podcast.
We cover every bump, every spot, and chat with all the talent around the world of wrestling. Here's your host, Bill Matz, former WWE referee Kevin Keenan, and Eric Golden.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Smarks and Stripes. My name is Bill Matz. I am joined by former WWE official Kevin Keenan.
What up?
And, of course, Eric the Turtle Golden.
Live on location.
Yeah, it's weird. It's
AKA
weird.
AKA 6 feet away from us.
We didn't have enough mics in one studio, so Turtle is not in the room with us, but he's here.
He's here in spirit.
Yeah, he's here in spirit. So we have a little bit of a different show for you today.
I'm on strike.
We have the full crew back together. It's been a little while since it's been all three of us.
Have I set him on strike?
Kevin, I want to. It seems like everyone wants to air some grievances today. Kevin has.
Let's air some grievances.
You sounded for the first time in the text messages like a fan. Like you're no longer.
Frustrations were building.
You're no longer just our resident insider. You were one of us today. You're one of the smarks.
Let's backtrack. You're always a fan no matter what. You're a fan first and foremost. That's why...
It's the only reason to get into it, sure.
That's why you get into it, of course.
Or money.
Well, either or. Or both.
Yeah. You think Brock's a fan?
No.
Do you think Brock's ever watched a wrestling match that he wasn't in? Professional wrestling match?
Yeah, probably. Probably. A couple. Yeah. Not many.
The ones on right before him he couldn't avoid?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
God, is that show horrible.
Yeah, so you're upset, Kevin. That's the main point of today's show is I'm trying to get to the root of your frustration.
It's the same stuff over and over and over again. Look, how many times do we have to do the Brock Lesnar experiment? How many times... Like, what, are we just going to change the rules of the Money in the Bank match? Like, Bill, you want to hop... Like, I guarantee if you hop the rail and try to grab the briefcase, you're not making it into the ring.
Yeah, that's...
But Brock Lesnar just wants to come out of nowhere and storm the briefcase?
Now, apparently...
As if he's, like, storming King's Landing for the Iron Throne? See what I did there?
Yeah.
Totally like that?
You love that show now, don't you?
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
What season are you on?
Season 3.
You just started 3? That's great.
I kind of had to throw a reference in here, like, to be hip and cool.
Yeah. You got to make it timely. I mean, you got to be like Michael Cole. Just throw in the random reference, and then, oh, man, the show's timely. Now, I guess he's the eighth entrant. He was put into the match. He just didn't come out until he felt like it because,
like,
he's Brock Lesnar.
They went to, like, extreme lengths to hide him all day.
Yeah.
It's not some big surprise or some big thing when Brock Lesnar's on WWE television anymore. He's no longer an attraction. He's just there.
Yeah,
He's one of these guys, like we've talked about before, who are a part of the system. He's not a specialty anymore. He's not something I have to go out of my way to see. We've been there, done that. Remember, Brock Lesnar came back in 2012.
Yeah, it's been a while.
In 2019, it's no longer this big thing. Oh my God, he's back.
I will say,
it's not a thing anymore.
Turtle and I did a Money in the Bank review show, and I thought the show was good. I will say, not great. It was fine. I always say just surprise me. Like, every now and then, throw a damn Vince Russo swerve at me. Just one. To make me think I couldn't write this, you know, when I roll out of bed in the morning.
Yes.
So, for the moment, for the show itself, I liked it.
Yeah,
just because I didn't see it at all coming. I didn't see any rumors about it. I like that I was taken by surprise for the first time in a while. I will say, like, I think there's a way to tell the story well, but I don't, like, that's just not going to happen. If you believe any of the reports that are out there right now, nobody in the match knew who the surprise entrant
and
was.
That's a problem.
That's a problem,
that's
right?
That's a major problem. Like, Brock's supposed to come out there and just, and these guys are, like, if Ali was supposed to win the match, if you're led to believe the way reports out there, that puts him in a terrible position on live pay-per-view, because if he's supposed to win and here comes Brock, like, what's that kid supposed to do?
Well, here's the story. I read this in The Torch earlier today. WWE did not even tell the wrestlers involved in the Money in the Bank ladder match last night that Brock Lesnar was going to be the winner. Wrestlers participating in the main event in the match went to the ring knowing who went to the ring without knowing who was going to win. In fact, PW Torch can confirm an earlier PW Insider report that Mustafa Ali was told during the day he was winning, which was a late change in and of itself, the impression given at the TV show last week. Both Drew McIntyre and Andrade were rumored to be the leading contenders as of last week. Just before the match began, wrestlers were told backstage that the eighth entrant, a mystery wrestler, would tip Ali over at the end just as it appeared he was going to win. They weren't told whom it would be, though. Brock Lesnar wasn't seen all day and only appeared just before he went to the ring to tip over the ladder and win.
Great. So are kayfabing the boys now?
Absolutely. Have you ever heard of anything like this?
No, never.
Like,
I remember the lengths to tell to kayfabe the guys
when we.
But this is insanity. Like, that's a safety issue.
When they snuck in the Hardys a couple years ago at Mania, like, it was a well rumored thing. Everyone knew it was happening, but they just didn't want anything.
I don't know how many people knew it was happening, except the people that were in the match. Like, Matt has told me stories about that week and how they were snuck into the middle of, like, the Florida desert,
yeah,
into a warehouse where a ring was set up, and they all went over this match, and they were all sworn to secrecy, signing, like, non-disclosure agreements going that far. I was with Matt the night before. He didn't tell me anything. I didn't know, but it was kept. It was a very well-kept secret, but, like, they went to lengths to make sure, to secure the secrecy, rather, of the Hardy Boys. And as my microphone fell.
Yeah, as the microphone again that you fixed has fallen apart,
yeah,
now. I just, like, other than Lesnar, what is that your main issue that you
Bailey
just
Bailey as the first Grand Slam champion is just insane.
There are only three titles though, right?
Correct.
And NXT.
Correct.
We're counting the NXT,
yes,
one.
Yeah,
all
they're
right,
not. They're counting just the main roster ones though.
But even so,
she's the only one to win all four.
That takes our point even further.
I mean, it's one of the horsewomen. If it was,
but the horsewomen's a thing of the imagination. It's not anything that's been featured on WWE television. It's not a pushed product. It's not anything that's marketed by World Wrestling Entertainment. It's insanity. It's more of the same. It's I need something different. It's Bayley's not a featured performer. Like, okay, if they're going to use this Money in the Bank win to push her to something else and, like, now use her the way they were supposed to in the beginning as the female John Cena, okay, fine, sure. I'm on board with that, but show me. Don't just give her a Money in the Bank win to have her make history when history right now needs to go on the side or should go on the side of Charlotte Flair.
Yeah, I just, if you're complaining it's more of the same with Lesnar.
Yeah, why would you want more of Charlotte Flair then?
And then they took the title off Charlotte.
Because Charlotte Flair is the star of the women's division right now.
But it's more of the same.
But she's the one they are pushing. She is the featured one. She's one that the fans don't get tired of. You very rarely hear any complaints about what she's involved in. With Bayley, you've been there with her already. You've seen it. You've done it. With Brock Lesnar, you've been there. You've already seen what they can do with him. You've already seen it. You've seen everything out of him.
See, I just don't think they've begun to scratch the surface of what they can do with Bayley, other than...
But they're never going to push her to they're never going to push her into the Charlotte level. They're just not going
and
to.
And they don't need to, but they do need to elevate her to give Charlotte fresh opponents. That's just something that has to happen.
Opponent, though.
For the main roster, it is. I mean, who else is there?
She's been around. She's already... In the eyes of the fans, she's already defeated. If you put her with Charlotte Flair, unless you give her some type of push that we've never seen before... In the eyes of the WWE Universe, in the eyes of the fans, she's already defeated. They're not going to put her under to Charlotte.
They might put her over. I mean, they've put Sasha over. Sasha over on Charlotte just so Charlotte can get the win back. You can push it up.
And that was at a time where they were actually trying to do something with Sasha Banks, where they were closing Monday Night Raw, where they were having hour matches. Like, they were actually trying to do something with Sasha. By the way, she's still alive.
I don't know. They mentioned her
on Instagram, so she is still on.
Oh wow!
They mentioned her on the show, which was odd. After Bayley won the Money in the Bank, they have an in-ring promo, and yeah, they said they. I think it was Charlie Caruso mentioned, "Hey, all the stuff you've done with Sasha," and she just kind of cut that off and was like, "Listen, all the stuff I did with Sasha was great, but I'm now here to, you know, say I can do it on my own." And good. I thought that was a good moment for her. I think they need to build up anybody, and Bayley, I don't think...
By the way, while we're on Sasha, it's just in my head, not to cut you off, even though I really just did.
Yeah.
Remember that special, The Shield's Last Stand or whatever? That 1 hour house show thing that they did? Does anybody remember Corey Graves' comment? Like, this was right after WrestleMania.
I don't think so.
Not offhand, no.
Comment was fantastic. Bayley's on her way to the ring, and he goes, says something along the lines of, "Oh, look, Bayley's cut off all the loose weight," or something like that. And like I popped, and you just hear Renee and Cole like just kind of just put their head down, like start laughing. It was a clear shot at Sasha Banks.
Oh, absolutely,
was awesome.
Yeah, that was, and that's the thing now. Just watching them work the other, I was somewhat impressed with Lacey Evans' match the other night. Turtle, Turtle was not all that pleased with it.
I don't see it either. I really don't.
I don't think she's like a superstar, but I think she's someone you can have a match with.
Sure.
But I will say, watching Charlotte and Becky work, it wasn't one of their best matches, but no one is on their level.
Right.
Like, there's no one on those two's level. Now, Sasha was getting close, and then whatever happened with her, she's gone. Bayley is the next best thing to me, and you need
to
build her up.
You have no one else, that's why.
You need to build her up so that you have something fresh for Charlotte, and since Charlotte is already kind of booked as the, maybe not Lesnar, but booked as, here's the best, here's the gold standard, no one's beating Charlotte, you know, one-on-one like that. All right, we took the belt off her with a cash-in, now we can build up other people by getting them over on Bayley, and then all roads will eventually lead back to Charlotte, but...
Well, when you're like Terrell just said, when you're last on the list, sure, you're better than nothing.
Yeah.
That's Bayley.
But
right
it's
now.
A top four. Like, the list to me is four and then everyone else. Three, now that Sasha's gone, really. And if Alexa is ever healthy, well, I don't know. We'll see.
I
love Alexa, but
I'm done with Bayley. I think it's a lost cause at this point. We know what she is. We've seen what we're going to see out of her. If the WWE wants to make some type of, you know, monster push out of her, sure. But I mean, cool girl, you know, but that doesn't mean I want to watch her, right, at least right now.
But then their women's division is in trouble, if that's the case.
It's already in trouble. They have two stars right now. They're already in trouble.
I mean, that's more than the men's division has.
Well, you got to remember.
True. You have Kofi and Lesnar. Those are your stars.
Well, you can make a case for Seth Rollins. You can make a case for Kevin Owens. Like,
can
these,
you?
These guys are stars. They are.
Kevin gets beat clean at every show and had to drop the belt to Bill Goldberg in 8 seconds.
But Kevin's at a point where he doesn't need to win.
Eventually, you get through that, though. Eventually, that's not the case. Everyone needs to win sometimes.
Winning doesn't matter. Wins don't matter. They never did. If you're a strong enough character, if you have a strong enough ability in speaking and knowing how to get yourself over and knowing how to be a tough guy and knowing how to be a heel, knowing how to be a dick like Kevin is, because in real life, he's an actual dick. Kevin never needs to win.
Yeah,
he really
just
doesn't.
The fans will check out on it. It'll be just more of the same. I know how this is going. He's in a main event because the match will be good, and then it'll end the same way. I think fans get tired of the same old. As you said, that's the same old. If we're not going to put him over, we know what he is.
Right, but I mean, I think you're arguing against the point. At the same time, my point is if you know how to be a character and you know how to be an extension of yourself, you're always going to know how to get yourself over. And if you know how to get yourself over, you don't need a win to get you over. You don't need a title belt to get you over. You're already there. You're already over. Fans aren't sitting there doing checks and minuses and wins and losses on
Kevin
Owens.
Your character is over, but if your story isn't, people will eventually stop paying it. Bray Wyatt's character
was... That's not Kevin Owens' fault.
I'm not saying it's Kevin Owens' fault. I'm talking about the company. Yeah, it's the creative. I'm not saying it. Kevin Owens is my favorite guy on the roster. I have absolutely no problem with anything Kevin Owens does as a performer. I'm saying the thing as a whole. If we're going to have stars, that means we need to treat them like stars.
Well, we're also at a point where, how do I say this? I was thinking about this on the way in. The WWE is, there is such a thing as, let me speak some real English. There is such a thing as too big. And right now, and there has been for a long time, too many chefs in the kitchen. Like when I was there, there was five writers for Raw. There was five writers for SmackDown. There was Michael Hayes and Ed Koski, who oversaw all of them. And that was it.
Yeah.
Right now, there was no away writing team. There was no home writing team. There was no this, that, and the third. There was five guys or six guys, whatever it was, no more than six on each, or seven on each side. They all worked together. They all reported to their supervisor, who all reported to Vince. And if you remember correctly, in my time period when I was there, 05 to 09, there wasn't a lot of bitching about how bad the storylines were.
No.
There wasn't really anybody that was on strike from watching the show.
And now you are.
And now I am. And it's simply because there's too many people with their hands in the cookie jar.
Oh, 100%. And that leads me to the next two things I want to get to. I want to start with Turtle. This is something we kind of got. We basically said what this was going to be on when we recorded Monday, prior to Monday's Raw. The 24/7 title. How do you feel about this? How did you feel when it got announced? What do you think this is going to be?
I forgot about that.
It's awful. It's not good. Listen, bless Mick Foley's heart. He's a nice enough guy. We met him here when he came down for Wing Bowl.
Yeah, Mick's the man.
Awesome dude. But he botched the hell out of that promo.
Yeah, the belt
was half shown the entire time. Yeah. Like.
When Mick's doing the scripted stuff now, it's bad. Mick can't just go out and do Mick, it's not good.
Like the cool thing that I will say about the 24/7 thing is there's a lot of good social media stuff going on. Rockstar Spud or Drake Maverick is doing great stuff on social media trying to find Ron Killings. And I didn't even know, he's how I found out Ron Killings was the champion, because last I saw Bobby Roode was.
Yeah.
Steve Corino, good friend of mine who's now an agent there, he was doing stuff. He posted a very cool picture of like he was going to go for a double axe handle behind Ron Killings, and he posted it on Twitter, took a picture of him on the plane. Kathy Kelly was trying to bribe people with coffee to, she was running around with John Cone trying to get a shot at the 24/7 title. Like, that's cool stuff.
That's this stuff. So that's why, like,
that's
I
good
don't.
Stuff, but that'll never make it to television.
Well, that's the key. That's just what this is going to make this good, I hope. If they do this stuff on social media, if they a belt changes hands on Instagram or Twitter or Facebook or whatever.
And that's the belt to do it with.
And that's what will make this good.
Yeah.
If they do it correctly. If they just do this mad scramble every third hour on Raw, I think that's what Mick Foley said is going to be.
Yeah, that seemed like he wasn't...
It's so odd and weird.
Saying the third hour of Raw seemed like something he wasn't supposed to say and just kind of blurted it out.
Our ratings sucked in the third hour. By the way, here's our new belt for third hour
only. It's the 24/7 title. This is when it's going to be defended. Like, that seems...
Did you guys see Waffle House tweet at WWE and, like, said something along the lines of, like, do you guys steal our logo or something?
No,
I
didn't.
The belt looks like the Waffle House logo.
I'll tell you, like, there are two things I like about it. First, there's 5 hours of main roster programming every week before pay-per-view weeks and all that. This can add some levity to the broadcasts. Now, do I want more complex stories? Do I want better stuff? Like, if this was this, plus we're getting some other really good stories too, and then this is the new hardcore title, awesome. I'm all for it.
Yeah, but
one has nothing to do with the other to me, other than what could we be doing other than this?
Exactly.
Like, this is going to bring in, this is going to allow other guys some TV time that they wouldn't necessarily be getting. And say what you will about,
this isn't going to move the needle.
No, it's not. But say what you will about Vince Russo, there's a lot of trash during his tenure, but the one thing you can say about him is everybody had something. And when you saw someone pop up on TV, you went, oh, okay, he's involved with this. And then when you do need to elevate somebody, say there's an injury before the next, you know, Money in the Bank or event like that, we need to replace somebody. It's not, oh, well, we got to go back to the Brock Lesnar. Well, it's we can bring it up somebody and they're not, oh man, I haven't seen Apollo Crews in 8 weeks. What the hell is he doing on TV now?
1,000% correct. Everybody from Crash Holly all the way up to Stone Cold Steve Austin was a star.
Yeah.
At this point in time, they all had a role, and as soon as that music hit, everyone knew who everyone was, and you were either over or you weren't. And there was no shade of gray.
Think about, I want you to, if you were to look at a depth chart of that, 2000 era roster, and where Crash Holly would be on that, depth chart, just in terms of star power. Crash Holly, 19 years later, still over with everyone doing this podcast.
Correct.
Because of that damn title and how entertaining those segments were. Think about who that guy would be on this roster. Who lines up with where Crash...
Tyler Breeze.
By the way, he's back in NXT. I'm not sure he's on this main roster anymore.
Yeah, he is. He's just waiting for Fandango to come back. He's just doing a little filler thing.
Yeah, I just
Okay.
And I'm okay with that.
No, sure.
I love Tyler Breeze.
Tyler Breeze versus Adam Cole is gonna be
really
good.
I love Tyler Breeze. If we could get Tyler, and this is hilarious in my head to say, thinking about what I believe their talent levels in the ring to be, if we could get Tyler Breeze to the Crash Holly level, Raw would be a better show.
Yeah.
The thing about it is back in that day, Crash Holly could walk on the street and people would be like, yo, yep. Crash Holly.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say the same for Tyler Breeze.
No.
And that just goes to the way, you can say what you want, but that goes directly back to the way television is written today and the way it was written yesterday. You know, back then, in 2000s, I'm not exactly sure how it went, but I still want to say they were writing TV by Vince's pool.
And then it
progressed into a couple more writers and a couple more writers, and then by the time I got there, there was 5 to 7 on each side. Now there's home and away teams, and this one doesn't know what the other one's doing, and this one supervises that
one. And that's the problem.
And Vince doesn't know who half of the writers are, and it's just a major shit show.
I like the 24/7 title. I wish there was other stuff that was making the show better too.
I don't like it right now. I can get behind it. The only reason I'm leaning towards somewhat liking it is because of the social media buzz.
Yeah, and it's
got to mean something too. That's the key. I don't want to see just the same 10 idiots that aren't getting TV time running around each arena. At some point, I want to see a Dolph Ziggler, who just came back, just for the sake of a name, win this too and make it mean something for 10 seconds at least.
I agree. Put Ziggler on it. But I also think this is going to lead to some entertaining stuff. We are 100% going to see Sam Roberts win this thing on a pre-show. We are going to see Brother Love win this thing. There is going to be some ridiculousness, and I'm fine. It's greasy guys in tights pretending to fight. I'm fine with some ridiculousness.
But don't make it all ridiculous.
I just wish
Corey Graves does not become 24/7 champion. This whole thing is a wash.
Renee's going to take this thing home. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I can't wait for Michael Cole to get his time.
He's already had his time, man. The coal miners are a thing of the past.
The coal miners. All right, this is the second thing. Now, we all have, and even I am trying to take the side of I don't think everything sucks, because if I thought everything sucked,
why are we watching?
If I thought everything sucked, exactly, Turtle, I would just stop watching. And since,
I have.
Yeah, and
remember
that's
what I said? Top of the show. I'm on strike.
And I respect that opinion.
I don't, but I still understand.
I respect that opinion, Kevin. I find things that I like, and then I focus.
I have requirements to bring me back.
Okay.
I have two things that'll make me watch. One, the commentating team has to be Tom Phillips, Corey Graves, and Byron Saxton. So, really, I'm only watching SmackDown. Because they're all three of them are my boys.
Yeah.
And secondly, if the Iconics are on the screen on either show, I'll watch and then I'm turning it off.
Money in the Bank, the women's ladder match. It was Philip Saxton and Renee, and I couldn't believe how much better Renee sounded with those two than she does with Cole and Graves.
Very interesting.
It was I like Renee. I think she's really good I think she's really good in the backstage interviewer role. She hasn't really come into her own yet on commentary, but commentary's tough, so I'm giving her time. But she's been really rough the last few weeks on Raw. So good with the two SmackDown commentators. I was shocked.
Yeah, Tom's very good.
Is perfect.
Corey's very good.
So then the Michael Cole is the issue with Renee then.
It could be. I think
it's the way Raw's just overproduced, honestly.
I mean, that might be true. Too.
Everything she says, you can tell Vince just yelled in her ear.
It could be.
Is in Gorilla.
Cole's her direct superior. Maybe he's trying to coach her during a live show. Maybe she's getting something from Vince, and it's, you know, it can be very, very overwhelming.
I mean, wouldn't it be to you if you're doing your first show?
Correct.
And I'm in your ear screaming, do this, Kevin.
Correct. But at the same time, I can't imagine that her being with Tom and Corey is any different other than maybe Tom not necessarily coaching her through the show.
She has trouble reacting to Graves's improvs. And so when
He is.
He's very much the heir apparent to Heenan and Lawler.
Yeah.
But with Renee, it sometimes gets grating to me because I'm like, all right, this is going on too much because you two don't improv well together.
Yeah.
You might be friends away from this thing, and so you can go back and forth, but it just doesn't sound good on TV when I'm trying to focus on the story or the match or whatever. When she was with Saxton and Phillips, it was really good, and I want to see that happen and just have a two-man show on Raw. I realize it's 3 hours, but they can do it. Cole is a better play-by-play guy than he gets credit for.
He really is.
I listen because we know Cole as the guy who does the Vince McMahon selling the show. He's not Jim Ross. He's doing the very much WWE thing.
He sets it up.
He did the NXT UK special maybe the first one. I don't remember which one it was. He did one of those specials from the UK actually launching NXT UK. And he was doing straight play-by-play. And I was like, yo, Joey Styles, what the hell are you doing? Calling moves?
Cole's
like,
the man.
I've had so much respect for him ever since then because I'm like, oh, you can do it. It's just that that's not the job.
Michael Cole's a hell of a cook, too, by the way.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What's his specialty?
Let me see. Last time I was with him, and this was probably going on.
He's a Jersey kid, right?
No. That I don't know, and I don't know where he lives now. I don't know where he lives now, but the last time that I actually hung out...
I'm sure he lives in Connecticut now.
He might. The last time I like really, really hung out with him was probably about 10 years ago now. We were all at a barbecue at a mutual friend's house not too far from here.
He's a New York guy. Resides in Texas currently.
Yeah, okay, so he's still in Texas. And he shipped up all this food and this chicken and all this Southern Texas stuff and whipping it up on the grill and... He's really, really, really good cook.
Nice.
Yeah.
Good to know.
Cole's the man.
I would love to...
Good time to hang out
wait for Michael Cole to be done. And that'll be 50 years from now.
Yeah,
he's a lifer.
Yeah.
He is a lifer. But, I would love to hear, his podcast whenever he gets fired for something ridiculous. He's got it on everybody. He's been around for so damn long.
Yeah, he knows where the bodies are.
Yeah. Before we got sidetracked, I was trying to set this up. Now, we all have our frustrations. Even me. I'm trying to play the side of not everything is bad, but I recognize the quality of WWE's television product right now is much lower than I can ever freaking remember.
Yeah,
this is 95 level stuff right here. So what I want to know is, does your current frustration with WWE make you more likely to buy the AEW show this weekend?
Doesn't make you more likely to buy it, but it is. It is making me of the opinion that wrestling now needs an alternative more so than it ever did before.
That's WWE, you said too big earlier. I'll throw in two more words. Too big to fail. AEW will never threaten the business of WWE like WCW
did. And I'm not sure that they want to.
No, and you don't want to. It's very clear one company is not good. It's good to have two. It's good for everybody to have two. I do think, however, they can threaten television ratings. They can threaten top talent chooses
to
go.
Sure, can.
Television ratings are so, there was a point, when TNA was first break, we're on, what were they, on Spike?
Yeah, for a minute there, I believe.
I think it was.
I forget the succession of it. They were on FS1.
Yeah, I remember FS1. Then I think it was Spike when they first got to Spike, and they were like, "We're gonna
pop TV."
Yeah, pop and all that shit. But when they first got to Spike, it was like, "We're going Mondays. We're going head to head." And it was like, "All right, your ratings are never gonna come close, correct, no matter what you do." It won't be hard for AEW to get to these ratings.
Like, I don't think it will be
either. It might take some time, but it's not like they're going to be 2 points behind the whole time. I mean, two is their rating. Is WWE's rating.
Is it that low?
It's like, it's under
three. I believe
the
third hour of Raw is under three by far.
Wow. That's...
It's bad.
That's unbelievable.
Like, and television ratings don't mean what they used to mean. No. I watch Raw a couple days late. Like, television ratings just don't mean what they meant in 1998. 2019 is a different world. But I do think they can threaten not WWE's business because, again, too big to fail, but the actual product, creating a secondary market for fans and wrestlers. And I have learned the only way to vote is to vote with your wallet. I think I have to buy the AEW pay-per-view. I think it's the only way to show WWE. You can strike, Kevin, but guess what? Are you a Nielsen family?
No.
Then they don't even know you're watching or not watching.
Correct.
So unless you're a Nielsen family, the only way to vote is with your wallet. Are you canceling the network anytime soon?
It's crossed my mind.
Yeah, but it's crossed my mind, but I'm not going to.
I don't, and the only reason it's crossed my mind, and I actually only just renewed it not too long ago because I did cancel it for a while.
Yeah,
I don't use it enough.
Okay.
I mean, I don't use it enough, so I might save the $10 and then re-up when I want to watch something for a couple months and cancel it. Like, it's a very strong possibility, but not right now.
All right. I again, respect it. And I want to see anyone who actually says they're going to strike from WWE or whatever go out and do something to prove to them you are not one of the customers who will always come back. Because even the people who do strike will always come back, and we know it.
Yeah, they will.
And we're all wrestling fans, so it makes sense. But I want AEW to succeed, and I want WWE to notice AEW more than, oh man, why do a couple of guys who we don't use on TV enough want to go there? Like,
they're noticing AEW more than they're putting over that they
do. Oh, 100%. It's clear they're noticing AEW, but they need to notice it with their content. They need to improve their content to the point of like they did when the NWO started beating them. Oh, okay, yeah, well, we need to not have a dentist as a heel. Like, you know, we need to not have a garbage man as a character. Like, these are things we need to change.
Yeah,
they've done it before.
Duke the Dumpster Jersey.
Listen, all respect in the world to the man who played the character.
Mike Jersey.
He never drew a dime. You know, like, that's not his fault. They told him, you're the garbage man. So
yeah, that was back when, like, they had like a catalog of characters.
Yeah,
box of
gimmicks.
They would just pick one for whoever was coming in next. Like, they had no...
Here's the ringmaster.
Yeah, they had no say-so.
You're never to speak. Imagine getting Stone... And that's like the funny part. Like, Vince is disconnected. Vince has always been disconnected.
Always.
He sat down with Steve Austin and said, you're never to speak. And when you do, it's in a monotone, like, I am the ringmaster. Like, that's it. You told Stone Cold Steve Austin that.
In fairness, he didn't know what he had then.
I'm sure Vince never watched ECW. He clearly never watched ECW.
I don't think the WWE was paying ECW to stay in business.
And he didn't know what it was.
And I don't think Vince had any clue what ECW was.
No, he had very little idea.
He probably didn't know who they were until 97 when they came in and did that Raw invasion. But other than that, not totally sure how much he knew of them.
Just to switch gears here, just to wrap up the show a little, get a few more things in. How are we feeling about these Saudi Arabia shows?
Eh.
Yeah.
I appreciate that the guys who don't want to go, it's not held over them.
Yeah.
I'm
indifferent to it. I understand the relations and international business and everything that's going on and, you know, the way they do things in their country and all that type of thing. I get all that. Would I go? Probably, because I've never been there. I like to just do things that I haven't done, so I'd probably go. But I understand the WWE side of it, too.
They're getting $10 million a show. They don't give a shit.
Well, when they're engaged into an agreement for, you know, regardless of what's going on in the country, is it a bad look? Yeah, sure. But like you said, $10 million, what is it? What does the company have to lose?
Like, nothing.
Clearly, they haven't suffered any repercussions of it yet. So at this point,
and that's like, listen, keep going. Should we be doing business with Saudi Arabia? Probably not. But since when do we care about ethics in business?
Yeah.
Like, I love how Vince McMahon is held. And like, listen, you've heard me on this show bash plenty of Vince's decisions and the way he deals with his workers and everything before. I am by no means a Vince apologist, but I will say I like that we hold Vince McMahon to these standards, and then we're sitting here on iPhones and wearing Nikes.
Correct.
Like, yeah, child labor, that doesn't matter to me. Like, you know, I find that part funny. But I will say, like, Daniel Bryan chose not to go last year, and then they put the title on him, like, the next week. So I do appreciate that
anybody who doesn't want to take that miserable flight should just use this as an excuse.
Oh, 100%. Like, Owens did it, and now he's not doing this one on June 7th. Sami Zayn, of course, is Syrian, so he wants nothing to do with Saudi Arabia.
That's a lock.
Aleister Black won't be going, and Kevin Owens won't be going. Daniel Bryan, Sami Zayn.
And evidently, Roman Reigns didn't want to go, but now is going because he's in this program with Shane.
Because they're going to give him $1 million to do it.
Exactly.
Good for him. Sooner or later,
oh, yeah.
Sooner or later, the roster's just going to turn around and go, we don't want to go, and then they don't have a deal with Saudi Arabia anymore.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and what are they going to do? Sue him?
Like, yeah, right.
All right, yeah. Well, you can't sue us. We're Americans. The government won't allow it. The president's my buddy. My wife's in his cabinet.
Not anymore.
Yeah, no, not anymore.
I believe she resigned.
Oh, okay. That's a shame. So state of the U.S. title will be determined on next week's Raw. Of course, the Money in the Bank match between Samoa Joe and Rey Mysterio ends in controversy.
Let's just end that on a television show and not build it up to a major pay-per-view.
Oh, yeah.
That makes all the sense in the world.
It ends in controversy. So, of course, neither of them are on Raw last week or this week.
Because they're both hurt.
Yeah, they both got injured. I mean, Ray getting hurt, I'm shocked. And Joe broke his nose in the match. So we have this controversy that we built up. Neither are on the show, and we'll figure it out next week. It's Memorial Day. It's the U.S. title. You think there'll be what if they just get rid of it? What if they go, we have this 24/7 title now. This is a waste of time.
I don't see that happening.
It will never happen.
Yeah, the 24/7.
They got rid of all the other titles before, though. Remember when they got rid of the IC and the Euro? The
24/7 title isn't even established yet. U.S. title is sort of the Intercontinental title to whatever brand it's on. Like, it's
but there's no more brand split, so you're fine.
Well, there is a brand split. They just haven't officially demolished it yet.
Yeah, but I feel like there's a chance this is going towards we're building up to no more brand split. That's just how I see it happening.
I don't see it happening that way. Because a lot of people are going to be out of jobs. You can only get so many people on a certain in a 3-hour Raw and a 2-hour SmackDown. I don't see it ending, but I do see it sticking going further with this route, the wild card rule, people crossing over. I don't think they'll ever officially end it.
What are your what's it going to take for you to end your strike, Kevin?
Oh, I already told you. I need Tom Phillips, Corey Graves, and Byron
Saxton.
That's
how Saxton we got sidetracked on that conversation.
On commentary, which so of course I'm naturally only watching SmackDown. And if the Iconics are on either show, I'll watch that segment and that segment only, and then turn it off.
If it was announced tomorrow they fired half the writing team, would you start watching?
Well, first off, I think that's what they need to do.
Yeah.
Secondly,
well, sure they do.
Show me first.
All right.
Replace them and show me.
Well, everyone who wants to make a point, guess what? Sunday's your chance, AEW double or nothing. I say go buy it just to pop a bigger buy rate than WWE sees coming. If you're as frustrated with World Wrestling Entertainment as the three of us are, and like I said, I'm trying to play the babyface here and say it's not that bad.
It sucks.
I recognize it's not good. I very much recognize that. Like the Styles-Rollins match, Turtle and I talked about it. Like, I just couldn't get into it. It's two of the, if not the two best, two of the five best workers in the world right now. And I was like, eh.
Like, not for nothing. Yeah. And I know I say this a lot, but I absolutely mean this. When Peyton Royce and Billy Kay are your hottest act in the company, this is no disrespect to them either. When they are your hottest act, it's time to get your act together.
No, they need to.
They are fantastic and stealing both shows by far. They are the most memorable of any act, any singles competitor, any tag team, male or female, on either show and NXT. When that's happening,
that's not good.
That's an issue. And again, no disrespect to those guys, to the Iconics. They're fantastic, obviously. But it's time to get your act together.
Oh, this is one more news item I wanted to run by you from AJ Styles. He said in an interview with Newsweek about the new contract he just signed, "I can tell you that this contract that I've signed is my last. This is the perfect place for me to be. It's family-oriented. I have no problem taking my family to the shows. It's a PG product, which I enjoy. I'm in the best place I can be for my career." So everyone hoping for that big showdown with Kenny Omega. It better be on the WWE brand or we're never going to see it.
Nah, you got to read through that. He left that open-ended. The last contract he will ever sign. Is he signing a contract? If he leaves WWE at some point and he doesn't sign a contract with New Japan. Never did. Never signed a contract with Ring of Honor. These are all pay-per-appearances. That's open-ended.
Yeah.
The last contract he'll ever sign. Okay. So maybe he signed a 5-year deal with WWE for $1 million a year and he has a couple things that he wants to do afterwards. Well, he said it's the last contract he'd ever sign. He didn't say he was done wrestling.
All right.
Got to read through that.
All right. That is all the time we have for you on Smarks and Stripes this week. Thanks for listening. Thanks for hanging out. If you haven't already, hit that subscribe button. It really helps us out and leave us some positive reviews while you're at it. Pretend the show is recorded in the Tokyo Dome. Give us 7.5 stars. My name is Bill Matz. My name is Bill Matz for Kevin and Turtle. Have a great week, everybody.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Podcasting isn't just evolving, it's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.